We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog. Hello and welcome to our first full episode of this new podcast called the Gutenberg Changelog. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator of the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with co-host Mark Urain, designer at Automattic and core contributor to WordPress. So before we head first into all the Gutenberg topics, we want to say thank you to the listeners who reached out to us after our intro episode. Your feedback was very, very encouraging. Thank you so much. We started out with quite a few subscribers and hope you connect with us and leave a review on iTunes or on Google Play or Spotify or a comment on our site. So hi, Mark. Welcome to the fast lane of your life again. How are you today?
Yes, I'm back after a couple weeks of vacation. I am rejuvenated, though. For those of you who don't know, I took a two-week vacation traveling with my family across four states in the U.S., and it was refreshing. We got to see, I have a little fourth grader, so when you have a fourth grader, you get in the national parks for free. And so this was, we hit up some national parks, and it was just a blast. Birgit, how have you been? I'm so glad to get back together with you on this. So how have you been?
Yeah, me too. Well, good to see you again. And well, it sounds like an awesome vacation. Yeah, the national parks in the early or late spring, that must be wonderful. I have been well. I spent all day today walking around in Boston. I actually had to find the Apple Store, and there was smack in the middle of Boston. So I love this state. It's you can walk there and you see the high rises and the old and the new. They kind of reflect off of each other.
It is a fun city.
And I'm speaking from the civic workspace called District Hall, where you can have a free co-working space and you can reserve last minute meeting rooms for 50% off. This was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, and tomorrow WordCamp Boston starts. Congratulations to the WordPress community in Boston for the 10th anniversary of their first WordCamp. That's some major volunteering and shows great dedication to the WordPress project. I'm looking forward to some interesting talks and meeting friends, making new ones in the hallway track. And it's going to be a fun weekend. So, last week we were wrapping up the JavaScript for WordPress conference with thank yous to sponsors and speakers. It was a fantastic event. Over 600 people in the 8 hours of workshop with Zach Gordon on JavaScript and React for WordPress. That's a huge number. And then on the second day, we had 1,000 people listening to talks in four tracks.
Yeah, can you believe that? Four tracks of talks.
Yeah.
And people were just, there were so many people listening in.
Yeah, it was fabulous, yeah. There was a JavaScript track, a headless WordPress track, a Gutenberg track, and a less technical track. And there were 36 sessions. So it was 9 hours per track and 38 speakers. So huge congratulations for the team of Zach Gordon, Fabian, Mary, and Christy. All did a fantastic job handling the green room and the emceeing of their respective tracks. A great deal of work went into the conference.
It showed, like you said, they put a lot of time and effort into it. And I felt very comfortable as a speaker during that. How did you feel with everything there?
I felt very comfortable with that. Yeah. Yeah, it worked very well. I heard the recordings are with the editor right now. And Zach Gordon will publish them on YouTube and on the JavaScript for WP.com website over the next few weeks. And then there was a third day, after 2 days, Zach actually went into Saturday with a contributor day, and about 30 people worked on the Gutenberg development documentation. That's fantastic to get another group going on that. Those live streams are already on YouTube, and we have the links in the show notes. So, Mark, your talk was at the same time as mine, so I really missed it. And how did it go? And what is disruptive innovation?
I was hoping to watch yours as well. So disruptive innovation I talked about. It's a process by which, you know, a product or a service takes root as a simple alternative to an existing competitor. And then it relentlessly moves up the market, eventually displacing established competitors. Clayton Christensen, I believe, is the person who kind of coined this disruptive innovation. And in my talk, I provided some examples of companies that have disrupted industries. And then I turned the conversation towards Gutenberg and kind of talked about how Gutenberg is this disruptive innovator in WordPress itself. And I mentioned how if we as a community aren't willing to disrupt WordPress and advance it into the future, then other people will. And they will with other software. We've always got to be willing to push ourselves and to get uncomfortable. And yeah, I it was a fun talk. I never gave a talk like that. So
yeah. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I need to make sure to watch it on the rerun. And it probably will bring back quite a few memories from the last 2 years when Gutenberg hatched in WordCamp Europe. And watch the space on Gutenberg Times, dear listeners. We will publish the link of the Gutenberg relevant talks from that conference. Because I think it would be really helpful for a lot of people.
But before we jump into anything else, I want to know about your talk. How'd that go? What was your talk about?
Oh, sure. Well, my talk was the Gutenberg plugins landscape. And I finally got a chance to test some of the plugins that I discovered in the WordPress.org repository. And I went through the list of 98 plugins and highlighted about 25 of them in the talk. And they were in six categories. So one category were the single purpose blocks. The second one was the blocks collection. Then about layout and templating plugins, and then e-commerce, and the last one was the tools to be better with the block editor on various sections. So and it was very, very interesting for me. It took a bit to prepare for it because I had to test them and I didn't want to do live stream and then also wait for other websites to wait to come on. So I had to create GIFs so I could even do a talk without internet connection, not for that, but so it was very interesting to go through that. And one insight was beyond the talk was that the target audience for blocks is a little bit different from those that have that use the mammoth page builders right now. Mm-hmm. Some of the templating and block collections still feel like they are more for those building sites for others than for the bloggers and the content producers who just want to get their work done in the most beautiful form, but not fiddle so much with be it line heights or be it spaces and characters. Yeah, WordPress has a philosophy called decisions, not options. Mm-hmm. There were some plugins that I didn't feel the plugin developers know what that meant.
Sure, I bet that happens.
Yeah. But it also, yeah, it's probably easier to just put all the functions in than making decisions. So, speaking of block templates, we had a few listener questions after our intro episode, and we gathered them on Twitter. Ellen Bauer, she's a theme developer and YouTuber from New Zealand, working in the WordPress space, asked us, I would love to hear more about Gutenberg templates and your idea of how they could or should be available for users in the editor. Mark, what are your thoughts about block templates?
This question is like perfect timing. I'm actually looking at block templates this next week. It's something that we saw kind of showcased in the keynote at WordCamp Europe from Matt, and it's something that we want to start putting effort into. There's a desire for this from people, right? I need to explore this problem and then start thinking through kind of the UX flows and the structure of everything, but This is a big request. People would love to have a page, like a block template. I'm not even sure if that's the right word for it yet, because WordPress kind of already has templates, something called templates. So we're going to have to figure that out. But people would like that, you know, just select a block template and have it have the layout already there with the blocks on the page. And then that way they just enter in some content. So it's something I'm definitely looking into right now.
Well, that's interesting, because I know that there are quite a few plugins out there that approach that space in various different forms. I think some nice implementation I saw in the Atomic Blocks newest version. And if you are a developer and try to explore that space, looking there and learn from them might not be a bad idea. I would not say that you, Mark, should go there, but those who are out there and trying to get a head start on that before Core comes out with it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, though. I'm gonna look at what's out there, see what the community is doing, how the community is solving these issues. Though that's how we work together. I really believe it. And if there are developers out there, you know, have built things like this, now is a great opportunity. The Core team is looking at stuff like this. So we can use some help, your expertise, you know.
Excellent. Yes. And as you hear, we are answering listener questions. So if you have a question, you can always tweet at us at the Gutenberg Times with the hashtag changelog, one word, at any time. And we'll answer the questions then in the next show. So the next question is from Luke Carbis from Brisbane, Queensland. It's a this is the Down Under version of it, obviously. So his question is, at Get Block Lab, one of the most requested features is nested blocks and the idea of putting one block inside another to create complex layouts. I think that's the same topic. Gutenberg has columns and inline blocks, but neither of those are very elegant. What's the future of nested blocks in Gutenberg Core? Hi, Luke. Yes, the columns are still a work in progress, but I do like the media plus text, how that flows and came together. And I feel that the cover block is outright beautiful and works very well. There is also in the newest version, 6.0, I think it was already, the group block, which helps you with nesting the other blocks. But you're right, it's all a little bit still in the works. But what do you think about it, Mark?
Yeah, how blocks are interacting with each other and the nested block scenario, these are all key points that that are being worked through right now. There's some PRs open about kind of adding borders to nested blocks. So you kind of, when you're inside of in the nested block, you get a sense for where you're at in the block interface. There's an issue I created not too long ago about complex blocks, or taking simple blocks. Like, let's say you have a paragraph block and you have an image block, and you want them side by side, right? Well, it would be really cool if you can take that image block, drag it and drop it onto the text block, and it would convert or transform automatically into a media and text block. And so being able to take simple blocks and create complex blocks out of them, or working within the nested structure, there is, I'm seeing a need for sure for more structural blocks, though, like the grid block that is out there, the columns block. We're putting a lot of time right now into the columns block to make that easier. We're adding also to that group block, adding some more functionality there. The cover block, we'd like to open that up so you can include more blocks nested inside of it. So, yeah, we're definitely paying a lot of attention there. But let's see. We've got another last question is from Peter Moeller from Groningen, Netherlands. And Peter says, I like the block editor, but I still regularly experience bugs when working with basic text. Lists sometimes behave weird, links lose their URL when saving, etc. Is basic block bug cleaning still a priority, or is the emphasis on new blocks? So I'll I'll go ahead and answer that, Peter. Yes, the bug cleaning of our core blocks are a huge priority. If you are finding bugs, please come on to GitHub and report them, because we may miss them ourselves. So having people like you chime in and bring to light something that's not right is so helpful for us. We're in there triaging these issues and prioritizing them to make sure they get addressed. But those are great questions from those people. And Birgit, it's been a few weeks since last we talked. Why don't we backtrack in a bit and talk about what happened in the Gutenberg world while in between our episodes here. You have some announcements for us?
I have two live Q&As where we have a panel and we have also listener questions. One comes up on July 26th at 2 p.m. or Eastern Daylight and 1800 UTC. And it's about AMP and Gutenberg with Kathy Bosco, Pascal Birchler, and Alberto Medina. And we will discuss the making of the AMP plugin and specifically the AMP stories, because the AMP stories are based on the Gutenberg block editor, I think with a version of 5.9 or 6.0. And then the following week, right before WordCamp for Publishers, we have another live Q&A on August 2nd, 2 p.m. and 1800 UTC, 2 p.m. Eastern daylight. And it's the Gutenberg for News and Editorial Sites with two people from our agency, Yes We Work, Thomas Eagle and Andrew Stuffel, and then with Peter Lucas, who is the editor of the Byline Times in the UK. And we will discuss how developers help streamline production process for content creation, not only for the online version, but also for the print version of the Byline Times. So this is going to be really interesting. You're right, Mark. We had a couple of releases that we haven't talked about it. And I totally missed the fast release of 6.1.1 that came out, I don't know, 24 hours after the first one or the second one from 6.1. And it had the widget block experimental piece actually prevented, did automatically convert other widgets in the customizer to blocks, which that was not the purpose of this thing.
Right.
And then some block properties on the block registration fillers were not deprecated cleanly enough. So there were some missing.
And that was in the 6.1.1 change.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And the 6.1, we had there were 60 plus fixes and enhancements.
Wow.
let's pick a few. So I like that the image block link settings has been approved. That was really cool. The REST API error messages now appear as notices, so you don't have to look into the browser console to see what's actually happening, which is a huge benefit when you do support for users. What else is in there? Oh, you can now type faster.
30% faster on long posts. I love that. Anytime something is performance-based in these releases, it gets me so excited. I love scrolling to the bottom of Riyadh's posts just so I can see the table of performance that have been done. So, and I think actually, like, I'm bringing this up because I think 6.0 actually decreased in a little bit of performance. So 6.1 brought us back to a really good performance.
I'm regularly going back to some of the Gutenberg Times posts, and one of them has gotten really, really long now. So I really appreciate the emphasis on speed for the longer posts. Really helpful. There is now motion animation on the block reordering feature, and I really like this because before you moved it and then you said, where did it go? And was it where I wanted it to go? And especially when you then do drag and drop, it's really helpful. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll add that, you know, with adding a lot of these motions or animations in Gutenberg, we are, the Gutenberg team is also exploring in the CSS, there's ways to do like a reduced motion setting for people who have that setting turned on in their browser, Gutenberg should detect that and recognize that, so they won't do all the animation or motion that might be difficult for some to parse.
Right, yeah. And then there were some experiments in 6.1. That was the introduction of the customizer panel to edit block-based widget areas. For that, the block inspector as well as the global inserter.
Yeah, I'd love to chime in on the customizer one. It's very rudimentary right now, and I don't suggest anybody go run and test that out just yet. We've been doing some reviews on the widget stuff recently, myself and Tammy, Lister as well. I wrote up a bunch of issues recently to kind of address some of these issues, but we're hoping that, you know, that we can get these pieces fine-tuned a little bit more, and then we're going to bring them and try to start testing them with people in the community to try to see where we're going with this.
Yeah, you're right. It was a little bit, I think it was a little bit too early to get into this, but it can never be early enough. So it was good to see it and how it doesn't work. And I had a question, I don't know where I got it, but was a question, is there some thoughts about how then themes would, or not thoughts, but documentation, how themes would actually work with that? But I think that question is still too early, because it's not yet the end version of it. So documentation will still have to wait a little bit to actually put it into the themes.
Yeah, we do need documentation, I believe, around that. But there right now, like the widget screen currently, the existing one in WP Admin, there's basically a block version of that. So you kind of have these, you have, if the theme registers these widget areas, we still like define them, but as block areas. And so now, rather than just them, these areas being limited to widgets only, they're really open to any block that you can add into these certain specific areas. So that's one way in which we're trying to push Gutenberg a little bit beyond the post content, beyond the editor, and hopefully brings people with us kind of into the block paradigm. So, yeah. Prior to that, right, Birgit, we had 6.0.
6.0 was, we just want to point out a few things. One is that Ryan Welcher landed his introduction to the plugin settings sidebar slot fill, but also do that for the document sidebar. Did I summarize that correctly?
Yeah, there was a lot of work done there. Ryan introduced that and collaborated. There was a lot of good collaboration that went on with the team involved to try to really work that through and get it merged in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6.0 also had the support for predefined layouts for the columns block, where you can then say, okay, do I want the a two column or three column? And then if it's three column or two column, what's the relationship between those? I really like that. And there was also a feature in there for the accessibility. Yeah,
those modals now kind of have a darker, what material design kind of calls a scrim, but it's kind of the overlay to put the rest of the website into the background, sort of, so that the modal or whatever needs your attention has the dominant attention. And initially we had kind of like a white screen going over the background, but with a darker one, it really allows what you're required to focus on to shine through and just be that focal element. So,
all right. And now we anticipate the next version already of the plugin 6.2 next week. Monday is release candidate scheduled, and for the final release on Wednesday. So what can we expect, Mark?
Yeah, we do not stop. Every 2 weeks, there is a release of the Gutenberg plugin. Things are always getting in there. So coming up, we've all just highlighted a few things that I think are interesting, but the disabled buttons right now in Gutenberg, I'm sure if anybody's seen a disabled button, probably have the most difficult time reading what it actually said because it's so light. We took a tip from Core and tried to get the color system in line with Core a little better, so that disabled buttons still look like a button, and they're legible. This will improve accessibility. There's better block grouping functionality so that any register block can be transformed into a group block. That's a pretty big one for people for plugin authors who want to introduce a block, and they want to allow their blocks to also be grouped, you know, into sections.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Yes. Yeah.
The table block cell alignment improvements are happening or getting merged in so that you can write right justify, left justify, or center text within a cell within the table block. Mm-hmm. There's improvements to the block styles, focus, and active states. So the blocks oftentimes, like the quote block, might come with various styling for the quote block. And this kind of improves which style is focused, which style is active, communicates that better. And there's also the addition of the plugin experiment settings page. So we talked about earlier about some of these experiments, like the widgets in the customizer widget screen. Well, these are going to be kind of transitioned to a settings page within Gutenberg where you can turn on these experiments or have them shut off so you don't have to be bothered by them at all.
Yeah, you don't find your widget settings all of them. Yeah. Yeah. This podcast is not only about what's in the immediate release or what was and what comes up, but it's also about what are people thinking in the bigger realm of things. And we want to have two topics about that. With Carol Rakestad, he identified a few things that are not working well with new user tips. What's wrong with them, Mark?
Yeah, as Carol mentioned in some of the issues that he's been creating there, you know, one thing we've noticed, we've been doing usability tests weekly with Gutenberg, and he's been looking through those videos, you know, interviewing other people. And one thing he's noticed is that, you know, most users don't read these tips that are initially there, and they definitely don't advance them. So there were a couple of problems there. So the tips block, they block other important buttons or icons. Oftentimes in the usability videos, we would see that the first task is kind of like enter a title to your post. Mm-hmm. And the user doesn't even see where they can do that on the page because the tip is blocking that from out of sight. And then there's the position of the tips aren't ideal. They're sometimes out of context. And so the tips are also, they just kind of somewhat dead-ended. Yeah, Kel's got a few suggestions to improve on them. Those include things like moving tips in line whenever possible so that they're more contextual, that when you're actually looking to do a thing, the tip is there inside the thing that you're wanting to figure out, and it can help you right there. Eliminating stepped tips, since people really aren't advancing through the tips anyways. Why not just eliminate this? There's also a consideration starting with a single modal kind of. So first time Gutenberg users, you know, there's explorations around maybe presenting them with a modal and giving them some information about Gutenberg and helping them through that way as well. Let's see. So in the same context, you know, editor devs also discuss help and preview panels for blocks in the inserter window. Mm-hmm. These could be like help things in the sidebar, like having a consistent place for help. Mm-hmm. There is a discussion on how third-party block developers could also use those sidebar panels to add help text for their blocks and settings.
Yeah, and I think it would be really good for plugin developers to chime in into those discussions. And we will have, of course, all the links in the show notes, especially to those issues that Cal has published. And I found it really helpful. It's in looking how spaces could be used for that. He also has on his GitHub issue links to the first click-through prototypes. So you can actually envision how it would feel when you get new tips or get them a little closer to the actual interface. So if you want to see how those features are discussed and created, click on the link and from the show notes and share your thoughts, encouragement, and also ideas, because if you're a plugin developer, you definitely will have a broader range of things that you can do with that.
Yeah, there's even an issue there for specific blocks, tips that help specific blocks as well. We mentioned how plugin developers would like to maybe include some tips for their block. So it'll be interesting to see how and where this lands. Definitely a positive. So the other thing we wanted to talk about today was the default settings for blocks. George Philippe Costa has been working on block style improvements. So the UI is changing to allow the user to select a default style. Talked about earlier just now about kind of how quote blocks have various styles. Different blocks have various styles that can be applied. Oftentimes it's difficult to select the one you want and then just have that be your default style as you continue creating your document. For example, right, we have the separator block. I like the wide separator. Unfortunately, that's not the default one. So every time I add a separator to my document, I have to go into the block styles and choose wide for the wide style. But it would be awesome that I could just say, you know, in a sense, like a global style where I'm like, I want the wide one to be the global default. And so whenever I add a separator, it's always the wide one. This is also going to be opened up to theme developers. So theme will be able to essentially select which style that they want their theme to use as default as well. So really cool stuff.
That's cool stuff. Yeah, that's coming up. Right now, to have the same style, you would actually use a reusable block, but you don't want for every block a reusable block. It would be really helpful to have the default style there. Mel Joyce published an update on some designs about the WP admin section of the new block directory in the making. And they were really interesting. And now it comes really to life. So she shared a list of installed blocks page, the block manager that we already know from the block inserter, and then a page for managing reusable blocks that right now you only can go through the block manager through the editor, but these are pages you can call in from the WP admin left-hand style. There has been quite an active discussion on the post. Take a look and see what you think, because if you want to be part of the discussion, that's a great place to air it. Your opinion is really important on that. This is a new feature for WordPress and for the block editor, and it is definitely worth looking into that. I think I missed a page when I listed that. I think there's also a introduction to blocks. It's also another page there.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
she has a few there. I think this is a great practice of surfacing some of the things that can be done with these blocks in a way that Mel has showing is going to be helpful for people to identify and find, for discoverability. All those comments on those posts like that, they get read by these people who are designing and developing this stuff, and they really take it into consideration. So if people have opinions or thoughts and maybe use things a certain way and would like to interject their input, bring their input to the table, there's a lot of consideration. So I encourage it, basically, is what I'm saying.
I totally agree, yeah. Yeah, and so the last item is...
last item, Riyadh has posted up an issue on GitHub about expanding the editor outside of post content. And for those of you who love Gutenberg as much as we do, we know that you want everyone to just jump to a full site editing experience. And we're getting there. We're getting there. This issue is kind of a lead into that way. And in abstract, you know, it's a way kind of to look at the editor as a wrapper block or a container composed of like a title block and then the post content block, which then allows you to enter in other blocks. So it's really just discussion right now and conceptual ideas for how we can really expand Gutenberg to become that full site editing experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, look at it. There are a lot of thinkers in the developer and design realm around Gutenberg, and I'm glad we can highlight some of those in this podcast. So before we end this show today, I just want to remind everyone about the next week's live Q&A on AMP Stories. We'll have on the show developer Pascal Bechler, designer Kathy, and the AMP evangelist Alberto Medina from Google, a Friday, July 26, 2 p.m. at Eastern Daylight or 1800 UTC. If you go to the front page on the GutenbergTimes.com or subscribe to a YouTube channel, you will get a notification for that. Do you have any last announcements, Mark?
Yeah, just a reminder that I recently just posted the latest Gutenberg design update on the Make Design blog on WordPress.org. So check that out to see what some of the latest things in design are being worked on with Gutenberg. But how about we wrap up?
Oh, good.
All right.
Yeah, there's still the light out there. I think that's a long show.
Yeah.
30 minutes. We actually wanted to aim for 30 minutes. So yeah, thank you to the listeners who just stay with us for that long.
Yeah, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have any questions or suggestions or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. And goodbye.
And goodbye until the next time.